Welcome to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, where your favorite coaches talk everything to help make you a better person inside and outside the gym. Welcome back to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland. This week, we got a snoozer. We're going to put you to sleep because April's lifestyle focus is sleep. And we want you to sleep better. We want you to sleep more. We want you to use sleep as your superpower. And the moment you understand why sleeping is a superpower and it's the supplement you're not using is the moment you will change everything in your health and fitness. So, sit back, listen up, and let's get better at sleeping.
All right.
We're there. We are in there like swimwear.
We are in there.
It's not a very good day to swim.
Not a swimming day. It's a good sleeping day.
Oh.
And it's a sleepy day. It's the day after when we're recording. We are day two of daylight savings. That scourge upon the land. When are we gonna save the daylight so we can stop doing this?
I don't know. I read something about it this year and I actually defended its honor.
No.
So I looked at starting in May, if you look at it from May to like August, if we didn't do daylight savings time, the sun would come up between 4:15 and 4:30 a.m.
I'm fine with that. That's when Robin gets up.
I was going to say, everyone else would be so upset about that. And I knew when I said this to Robin, she'd be like, yeah, that's great. What's wrong? I don't get it, Ben.
And then it'd be nice and dark when I go to bed.
Yeah. So I was just like, I think I would keep the daylight savings because I like the later summer sunsets and I like being able to sleep till 6 a.m. with the sun not out.
All right. I think most people would agree with you. I'm not going to lie.
But I understand the trauma of this week and the rearranging of schedules. Although I think for some reason it's worked better for my life and family. So
that's good.
I'm going to knock on some wood. Although I definitely do miss that hour of sleep, but
we can do hard things.
Well, it's one of those where I think it's like our meal planning thing. If you have a plan for it, you can make it work. Like if you plan, I'm going to go to bed a little earlier on Saturday night before daylight savings. I'm not going to schedule anything Sunday morning. So if I need to sleep a little longer, I can. Those types of things, it's probably better for you. And then the other thing of just biting the frickin' bullet on that Sunday night and going, no, I'm going to bed and this is the way it's going to go, I think would have worked fine. Because we all do it when we travel. Like nobody goes, nah, I'm not going to make this work when I fly from here to the East Coast. They go, yeah, okay, I'll make it work. But which is three times as much of a change.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's just, you know.
Well, we might come up back to this later in our podcast, mm-hmm. but I don't feel it the day. I feel it the next day.
I always feel my lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Not the day after.
Yes, exactly.
Like
so we're saying the same thing.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. I always feel that like, not directly into that day. I don't know why. I would love to, science tell me.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So.
Meal planning.
Clearly we're talking about sleep lifestyle habit today. I think that was clear, but we have to recap our,
yeah.
So we're going into, what freaking month are we in?
We're going into April. We're in the middle of March and I'm going to get us back in like focus mode. Cause I've distracted Robin like four times just shouting things. And if you know anything about Robin's brain, if you start shouting random things at her, it goes randomly even more.
No, it's not a good, Okay.
So if Ben's being random, it's bad for the whole group.
So we're going to talk about April's healthy habit, which is sleep. But first, we're going to recap March's healthy habit, which was meal planning.
Thank you for getting the train back on the tracks, Robin.
That took a lot of effort.
That was really impressive.
I'm really happy with that.
Good job, Robin. Okay. Pat on the back. Gold stars.
And now I know what day it is and what month it is. So
that's what did I say that to last night? I can't remember. We were talking.
You gave him a participation trophy.
Okay, they asked for a participation trophy for something. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so meal planning. Because we're only halfway through the month, I'm still in my like struggle phase with it. Only in that I have not figured out how to plan weekend meals yet. Okay. I get the weeks down.
Got it.
Somewhat. I mean, I pre-order food. I have this and this. And then I just kind of go off the pre-order of like this meal today, that meal today. And with my new kind of mix and match schedule, I will do like yesterday, I prepped Wednesday's food. So I already know what I'm eating on Wednesday. And I kind of have a general like this and that. So I would say during the week, my plan is solid. It's the weekends where my plan goes to poop. So I need to figure out that piece still. But this week, because St. Paddy's Day is on Sunday, I have a plan.
Are you going to do corned beef and cabbage?
Corned beef and potato cabbage hash.
Ooh, sounds really good.
Because I was told by my significant other that if I steam cabbage, I will be no longer welcome in the house.
Yeah, that does. It's quite the fragrance. So... Well, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So I've been trying to do that, but it's not great.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing much better than I did this time last year because I have just systemized the crap out of everything. Sucked a little bit of the fun out, but not too bad. Still doing my overnight oats. Now I got my egg bites in the rotation, not the Starbucks ones. I make them myself. They're really easy. So I got those two ready to go. So I've got like my first two meals of the day already to go. And then I'm trying really hard to plan the dinners ahead of time instead of trying to do it on the fly. So, yeah.
Do you want to talk about your new experiment?
Yes, I am experimenting on myself, which is the best. I think it's really fun. So I am doing a little bit of intermittent fasting. So you don't have to. No, I'm going to try a little bit of a 16-8. That's an 8 hour feeding window, and a 16 hour fast. So this is not, I'm going to be really clear. I am not restricting my calories at all. This is just squeezing them into a little bit of a smaller window, not much of a smaller window for me, but just a little bit. So instead of eating right when I get up, I'm pushing that out to, you know, after a couple hours. So it's not a big deal. So I'm going to be stop eating at 4 p.m. I go to bed pretty darn early, as I said, and then I eat again at 8 a.m. So it's not really too bad. Not yet, anyway.
I was going to say, we'll see how it goes.
So what I'm doing, the experiment part of it, is I'm going to try this, and I'm going to see how I feel, right? It's to me, it's all about how you feel. Like the first couple days are, you know, hard because it's different. But if I get in the swing of things and this, and I feel as good as I do now, then I'm going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's also something we should talk if you're comfortable with it, Robin.
Yeah.
From what I understand of your goals, this isn't based around improving performance.
No.
It's more improving health and some other markers that...
It's for menopause weight, like the way my hormones are not helping me anymore. So I have to do something different. So it's trying something a little bit different. So trying to get out of that glucose for fuel and fat for fuel instead. And that's one of the benefits of IF. And then it is... Studies have shown it does help prevent diseases like cancer, which I have a predisposition to. So it's because cancer, to just oversimplify, mm-hmm. cancer needs sugar to grow. It's like anything else. So if you starve it, the studies have shown in animals, but maybe people, maybe in the future, that it does keep any cancers from growing, and it can even stop them from, it can kill them. So yeah, why not try it?
Well, and this is, I think, a good example of where Robin's experimenting with trying to create more metabolic flexibility in her body. And those would benefit her in a lot of the health senses that she's talking about.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of you, this might not actually tie to your goals. because it wouldn't help. It's not going to help Robin immensely with performance in the gym. It could actually limit some performances, which is okay. And then the other thing is, it's maybe not the best for muscle building or even recomposition of the body. Now, if Robin is successful with this and she does some things that change some markers, then we can start to play around with, okay, now let's go back to X and Y because you're running at such a well machine.
Exactly.
And so that's where this is a cool little experiment for her, because if it works, we can then steal the benefits and do some things to help the other pieces that she cares about.
Yeah. And the thing, something like intermittent fasting, there's so many ways to do it. I'm just going to try one and see if it works. And then you can, and then you tweak it. And I got it, just since we're just going into Robin, let's go a little farther. This is the first time in a number of years that I have felt the motivation and the fire to try something like this. So that feels really good. Mm-hmm. And, talk to me if you want to know that journey, but it's just getting kind of that vitality back and that, like, I want to try something. I want to experiment on myself. So it's just kind of fun. I always used to be really excited, like, I'm going to try paleo and I'm going to try whatever the new thing is, the zone, and I'm going to try it and see how it goes. As long as you don't get too crazy about it and you just treat it as an experiment, it can be kind of, can shake things up a little, and that can be exciting. Mm-hmm. So, all right. But we're supposed to be talking about sleep.
But no, I think that helps with the meal planning.
Oh, okay.
Because now you have to build plans into this. Like, you talked to me about how you shifted your overnights here. You put your egg bites here. You have a plan to eat before 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff. And I think that's where, if Robin didn't look and didn't have the skills of meal planning, applying this would fail miserably.
No, it's actually helping the planning. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, and that's all it really takes. Again, you're not restricting. So you're not hungry. You're just trying to fit everything. And so it does take a little bit of skill and planning, because instead of like a 12-hour window, it's an 8-hour window.
Well, and instead of being like, oh, I have time to cook at night, you're like, no, I need to get home, Ben, so I can cook, and then I'll do this work later. And it's like, got it. But that takes a plan to figure that out. If you don't have that, and you're just like, well, I'm going to stop eating at 4, you're going to very quickly find out, oh, shoot, I am screwed and need to eat now. And it's 5, 6 p.m.
Yeah. And if you do it right, you won't be hungry, because you've eaten exactly the same amount as you used to.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a little planning that just came out of my mouth earlier today. I was like, well, I got to leave by this time because I still got to cook dinner tonight because I did not have anything ready to go. But that's also a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about how this new approach for Robin will actually help her sleep as well. Because if Robin is her typical, I'm going to bed by like 7:30, 8:30 o'clock at night, she stops eating 4 hours prior to that. That she follows the 3-2-1 rule that I'll talk about later.
Yeah. No, that's, and I'm just going to keep saying, because I think some of our listeners might be of a certain age. As I get older, like everything else, it's getting a little harder to eat right before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel good. So yeah, it doesn't help the sleep. Hurts the sleep.
I'll say this as a younger person than Robin. Surprise, surprise. It's not easy. I struggle with it, and I have to do it almost every day because I'm a big dum-dum. And I say that with most kindness to myself, but I'm a big dum-dum because I like talking to all you people more than I like sitting in the office eating by myself. So
it's true.
There were several jokes about my schedule last week and how it was abused by myself, not by other people. I would like to blame other people, and I sometimes do, but when people talk to me, I talk back when I could just walk away.
Just start shoveling stuff in your face. Yeah. That's a really good clue.
Blame my mother. She taught me good manners and said, don't talk with your mouth full. And when spoken to politely, speak back. Don't be a... This is all my mom's fault. I have manners. So this is my shout out to Steph in this podcast, because she always tells me, Ben, shut up and go shower, or Ben, shut up and eat, when she notices this. Well, because I whined about it last week and she did it. Although she
doesn't want to hear your whining, but she also cares about you. That's nice.
But then she did it to me yesterday during my workout time. But that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. We do that to you all the time.
I was going
to
say, she does it because she abuses it too.
I do, so. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's okay. Like I said, this is Ben being a dum-dum because it's Ben's fault. And I will not play victim or anything here because I could just say no and go lock myself
in the bathroom. Interesting you bring that up because it is part of meal planning is, okay, you have your food. Now you got to actually sit and eat it.
Well,
and sometimes you have to put the boundaries down. And sometimes it is like I walk into the room and close the door because you have to get that food in you.
Well, people wonder why I hang out after late night class and I don't just rush out of the gym to go home. Part of that reason is because I go eat right after that. So that's my new plan of like, if I don't eat after class, even if I have a 7 p.m. client, I won't eat till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. Because I have to drive home. I have to talk to my wife. No, sorry. Get to talk to my wife. Let me use the right words there.
Good job.
No, this is great. Well, like, example, last night I came home. We found a fish smell in our kitchen. Could not find where the fish was. Don't know where it is still.
Oh, dear.
Think we got rid of it. But we moved an oven. We moved a fridge. We cleaned the fridge out. 45 minutes to an hour later, I would have then sat down to eat, and it was 10 at night.
I bet it's a dead mouse.
Don't say that. Because we can't find the mice either, so it's under the house if it is. So I'm hoping it's not that. I don't think it's that.
Okay.
Because it went away today.
But that's a good point. You don't know what's going to be waiting for you at home, so you got to get that.
So I know what's waiting for me at the gym. The whiteboard needs clean. The trash needs taken out. The chalky handprints need mopped up. And the equipment all needs to get put away. So when 7 or 6 p.m. class does a fabulous job, which last night, oh my God, you all crushed putting away all the rowers and all the boxes, and you organized the boxes by size and color. Oh. So I don't know who in 6 p.m. loved me last night, but thank you.
Yeah.
It was, I had tears of joy coming out of my face, and I don't cry. So I didn't really have tears of joy, but as close as I possibly could have.
Nice.
There was an itch in my eye, Robin.
You know, well-organized boxes will do that too.
But if you go back there when we're done here, if they haven't been moved yet, you'll be like, oh my God, this does look way better. So.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. Yeah. That's how I've been meal planning, and we'll keep planning away. So hopefully you're planning away, and Robin will give you more tips on how to plan food on the Instagrams and other things.
Yes. And we might talk about intermittent fasting in the next couple months for no particular reason. So moving on.
Sleep.
This is such a tough one for people, and it breaks my heart because it's not an easy fix. It's not an easy fix, but it can be fixed. So if you're here at this podcast for sleep, first of all, sorry it took so long to get to it. But also, we get it. Like, it's a tough one. And if you don't know, it's really, really, really important for pretty much every reason you can think of. So do we want to talk about why it's important to get good, not just a lot, but good quality?
Yes.
Okay.
But before I go into that.
Uh-oh.
If you have ever asked a coach or asked a friend or Googled on the internet a supplement and you take supplements and you're not trying to improve your sleep and you're not consistently sleeping more than 8 hours, and I mean tracked 8 hours, not just, oh, I went to bed at 10 and got up at 6 type sleep, you're wasting your money in some parts. Like, I say that kind of harshly, and if you looked at the bottom of our brainstorming, I literally wrote sleep, gator facing supplements.
But that's at the end of our list.
I know, but I needed to jump it to the front, and I thought of it at the end of our brainstorming.
Okay, cool.
And here's why. Because if we looked at sleep on a whole, it is better than any performance-enhancing drug you can take. Like, they should literally outlaw sleep as a performance-enhancing drug.
Yes.
That's how important and how good it is. So.
Right. So we want it for brain function?
Yes. You will have a higher productive brain, ability to focus better, ability to process tougher challenges, problems, you name it. Verbal scores go up. It's the age-old, don't pull an all-nighter before an exam, get a good night's sleep, and then maybe refresh before the exam type situation. Your brain when rested and restored, is going to perform better.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer. You can look up multiple very high-end studies on cognitive function and sleep input. They're pretty much go together hand in hand, and vice versa. All the things that happen to you when you haven't slept, and I mean, why you shouldn't operate heavy machinery, why, you know, all of these things. I think that's pretty much everyone agrees.
There's two examples of this. One is you sleep over at friend's house and get slap happy silly late into the night when you're sleep deprived. And so everything is silly. Even Ben's dad jokes become silly at that point in the night. Shows you your brain function is probably going down. Second, they use sleep deprivation as a torture implement. So if you ever get kidnapped, they're going to sleep deprive you for torturous reasons.
Yeah. So do newborn babies. They do the same things torturers do. They break you down because they're too little to like fight you physically. So they break you down mentally, and that's how they wrap you around their little finger. I'm just saying.
Oh God, Robin.
For whoever needs to hear this.
To all the moms out there, I love you.
Seriously, it's tough. It's tough. That's one of the main reasons being a new mom, it's dad, whatever, is tough. You don't sleep. All right, mood buster.
Booster, not buster.
Well, both. Depends, yeah, you know, yeah. Like if you don't get enough sleep, I know I get super cranky when I'm tired. And I think most people do.
Well, what you find is you don't have patience. Like if you're not a patient person as it is, if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to be even less of a patient person. You're not going to put up with shit.
No.
And not in like a boss get stuff done type of way. In a like, I can't handle this, I'm having a breakdown type of way.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. I feel it in myself when I feel anxious, when I feel the doom and gloom, when I feel like the world is overwhelming me. I just go to sleep and the next day I'm like, oh, none of that's there anymore. And my whole perspective shifts. It's hilarious. I'm like, Robin did me wrong. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, what did she do?
I forget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not that bad. Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. Back to work.
Yeah. So it's a great sign that you might be a little sleep deprived or just overextended if you're just snapping at everything or everything's feeling like it's against you. I mean, there's lots of reasons for that, obviously, but check that. That might be a reason.
Well, that's why they have the old saying of sleep on it.
Yeah.
You know, write all the emotions down, sleep on it, and see what you feel like in the morning.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those emotions change after a decent night's sleep. I won't even say a good night's sleep because I don't know if I'm getting any good night's sleeps right now, but I know when I get a decent night's sleep, boom, it's my mood and my ability to feel and process feelings better goes way up.
Yeah. Yeah. So for sure. I mean, look at your child is getting to the age where you're going to know it's the best. It's when they're losing their ever loving mind. And you're like, it's time that you need some sleep. I'm not tired. And they like freak out about not being tired. And you're like, well, that's funny. Little dichotomy right there.
Oh, yeah. He does it already. We can tell the signs. It's pretty funny.
So funny. You're like, why are you fighting it? Just go to sleep. All right. Performance.
Duh. So I wrote this as performance because it was actually tied into athletics and things like that. But I don't think many of us tie our gym goals to athletic performance in the type of sense that I see. But if you care about how you feel in the gym, how you lift weights, whether or not your back squat's going up, whether or not you feel like you're doing better in certain conditioning workouts, whether or not you feel like you can run the 5K, whether or not you don't feel like your technique is falling apart when you're tired. Like those things all get better when you sleep better. Because now, like even in the middle of a very tough workout, you will have better performance and be able to be more technically sound. So maybe you don't care the number of rounds you get in the AMRAP, but you care that your back doesn't hurt tomorrow because the AMRAP has deadlifts in it. Well, if you sleep better, you will then perform better under fatigue of the exercise, not under fatigue of lack of sleep, under fatigue of exercise, and you won't have that problem with your back. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first, one of the first things we asked, if you're like, why does this feel so heavy today? You know, or why can't I do what I did last week? It's like, how'd you sleep? How'd you eat? Like we ask, usually the first question we ask is, how'd you sleep last night? So yes, clearly tied. Blood sugar. I love this one.
When you sleep, your body processes the nutrients it has in it better. And that is how it can manage your glucose spikes better. So when it's processing better, your glucose won't spike as hard or as fast. It will slow drip, it will transition, and it will process in the way it needs to of, oh wow, Robin is riding this assault bike really, really fast, and it's very, very impressive, so she needs more glucose. Whereas if she doesn't sleep, it will go, bah! And send her all the glucose in the first 5 calories, and then she's going for 20 calories, and she wants to murder all of us because she's lost all that.
That's such a great example. It's 100%. And it is. It's when you're just like, why do I just feel so bad? You know, you just feel bad, and everything's heavy, and you're cranky, and you can't get your double under. It's not. We just had a, yeah, one of those.
I feel it a lot of times in two ways. One, if it's a sprint workout and I can't warm up well enough, that's when my sleep is lacking. I just don't have the button to push.
Yeah.
The other one is I'm going through a longer workout and all of a sudden I hit 25 minutes in and I just crash.
Yeah.
I'm like, gas tank, I'm hitting the gas pedal.
Yeah.
I'm pushing, what, go. And it's like, nope, there's nothing there. It's like, oh, just take a break, Ben. You just need to stop.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm fine. What's wrong? And it's like, oh yeah, that's lacking. There's no fuel in this tank. And it's telling me the old check engine light is flashing at me.
Yeah, it feels terrible. It really is not a great feeling. Weight control.
When you sleep, your hormones balance better. Your body transitions through its metabolic processes better. And you feel better. So you get all the goodness there. And that will help you sleep better. So it will allow you to do all the functions better. Which is what we care about.
Yeah.
So if you want to lose weight and you're like, Ben, I refuse to track calories. I refuse to do meal planning. We'll track your sleep.
And this one, again, many, many very highly regarded studies link weight gain to sleep issues. Yeah, it's very well known. So it's not just us.
Well, and it goes in two manners with that. One, if you are doing everything right. Like you're like, Ben, I'm eating the calories you said. I'm getting my fruits and vegetables. I'm drinking all of the water. I'm not eating up close to the time I'm going to bed. I'm getting something in me in the first hour of my waking. And none of it's working or the scale's not moving. Well, let's ask about your sleep. And you go, oh, I'm only sleeping 4 hours a night. It's like, welp, here you go.
It could be related.
Yeah. The other side to this is, and we all feel this, willpower.
Yeah.
When we lack sleep, our willpower starts to shut down.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, those good choices that we make at the end of the night or the end of the day turn into really bad choices.
Yeah. I mean, your energy drops off, you're cranky, you know, whatever. You need something. You might not make the best decisions on how to kind of wake yourself up again. And we'll circle back to that.
Well, and that's where, like, for me, that's when my weekends shut off. And I make poor decisions over the weekends because I've stressed myself and not gotten the right sleep. Mm-hmm. Prioritize that and put that in place. And that's my fault. So I know if I want to change that, I need to do X, Y, and Z to get there.
Saturday night's all right for sleeping, Ben.
You betcha.
That's the way the song goes.
I never heard it that way, but yeah. Now that you sing it.
It's all right to go to bed early on a Saturday. No one's going to judge you. 7 to 9 hours. Wait. Oh, sorry. I skipped germ fighting. This is really important. Immune system, especially these days. I mean, these people coming into this gym, I've been sick for 2 weeks. It's been pretty much a common, it's been a rough disease year.
We get all the flu bugs now.
Yeah, we got flu. We got RSV. We got, of course, our friend COVID is still around. So you don't want any of that stuff. It sucks.
Yep. So if you'd like your immune system to fight off things better, so you don't have to lay in bed for 3 days recovering and sleeping because you didn't sleep, go the frick to bed.
Yeah.
Let's go to sleep on Saturday night. So that's the kind of magic trick there of like, oh yeah, fix this and this and this.
This happens a lot with people that they go on vacation and they come home and they get sick. It's mm-hmm. because there's a lot of reasons, obviously, planes and, you know, but a big chunk of it is lack of sleep or just having your sleep disrupted mm-hmm. or you're sleeping in a new bed or there's not enough blackout or you're just staying up late because you're on vacation, you know, and then you come home and your body's just not able to fight off like the germs that are on the plane on the way home or whatever. So yeah.
And that's the whole key when you start looking at this stuff is like, what can I do to make myself more resilient? Oh yeah, I can put this sleep shield up and that will make me more resilient to these boogeyman bugs.
Yeah, no, the bugs.
Viruses and bacteria.
Yeah, all that stuff. All right, so clearly you need to sleep. I think everyone knows that. And I'm going to say this probably 5 more times during this podcast. For those of you who struggle to sleep, we're not trying to say it's easy. And just sleep because it's good for you. Don't you know it's good for you? Everybody knows that. It's a challenge. So we're going to get into kind of the nitty gritty now of how maybe you can make it a little easier to get to sleep. So we say 7 to 9 hours. Everybody's very different. And you can find out your optimal sleep by just kind of testing it, really. Everybody's different. What's yours? Do you know?
I've never actually been able to do the full-on test.
Just anecdotally test. Like, I know if I get 7, I'm fine. But if I get 8, I'm great. And any more than that, I just don't. I wake up. So that's just me. If it's, 5 or 6, I can't function.
So I actually don't know because I've never full-on tested and I just make things work a lot of times. Of course, I feel better with more. I feel better with a lot of things. So the way in which to test this is you need a 3 to 4 day window where you go to bed at the same time and you don't set an alarm clock and you let your body just adapt and you see how long you sleep for over that period of time. And what people come to find is they fall right in between those windows. Now, some of us who are more sleep deprived, maybe the first 2 nights were way above 9 and it's like, oh, we're just playing catch up. Or what we'll even find is sleep deprived. So we crash the system and wake up at 7 hours, but we're still tired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole okay, let's start to figure this out and play with this and see. Generally speaking, find that window. I wouldn't worry about what's my perfect window there. If you stick between that 7 to 9, you're going to be successful.
I agree, but I also don't think it needs to be perfect, but I do think that everybody's a little different. And if you're going to really prioritize this, I think we're going to get into a little bit, you track your sleep. That's the whole reason I wear this. I have a Whoop band. The only reason I bought it is for tracking sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can do it with my Apple Watch, but that needs to charge too often and it just didn't work. It's not comfortable to sleep in and blah, blah, blah. And it beeps and does weird stuff. So I don't want it. But the Whoop, anyway, there's ways to track your sleep or Ben said, just, my alarm doesn't ever wake me up. So that's just because I've dialed it in so much where I know. But yeah, if you know what you run the best on and you gotta be, it's tricky too, because, and we'll talk about this, quality sleep versus just straight up sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another, if you wear a tracker, they can help you a little bit with that too. Okay. So 7 to 9, though, if you don't want to track or if you don't care, just, keep it within those windows. It's a great place to start. For instance, if you are getting 4 hours, you need more. It's pretty much duh. Okay.
I would say even if you're getting 6, you need more.
For sure.
You can make it work.
There's duh.
Yeah.
Some people can, or they're fine on 7. Like I said, I'm not great on 7.
Yeah.
But I also don't need 9. So, it's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. So here's our tips. You guys, again, I'm sure you've heard all these, but we're just going to briefly go through them because they do work. They've been tried and true. And we can talk about our own personal sleep tips too. Mm-hmm. But in general, you need a good environment.
Yeah.
Right? So you need, I'm going to go through it. Cold, dark, and quiet. Those are what I need.
Yeah.
And you have to jealously guard those things, you guys, if you really want good sleep, good consistent sleep. Yeah, but I have this or I have that or I have a partner that just want to get mean about it. Seriously, you are important. You need your cold and your dark and your quiet.
So to specify, cold, somewhere between 60 and 70 degrees. Okay. That is what cold is defined as. Now, I give that big range there because certain people will say 70 is the coldest thing they've ever felt in their life. And other people will go 60 still feels hot. Here's the key. You need to be cold enough to want to get under a blanket.
Yes.
If you don't need to get under a blanket, it's not cold enough.
It's not. No.
And that's the whole key. And it's a number of reasons. That's why there's a whole market around cooling pillows. This mattress cover does this and this. This does this and that. Blah, 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 blah. I've been sold on them all. And I will tell you which ones work and which ones I want to buy once I get a Christmas present.
yeah.
So that, boom. And if you're like one of those people who's like, Ben, my partner needs it at 75 and I need it at 65. There are mattress toppers that will climate control in the same way that your car climate controls between the driver's seat and the passenger seat. And to be honest, you might go, Ben, that's kind of a hefty price tag. And then I break it down to you as a per night basis. And you're like, oh, that's less than the coffee I make at home. And I go, yes,
it is. Or you can just make your partner put an extra blanket on their side because this is that important. I sleep with the window open and I have a fan and they work great.
I love how Robin has all these tricks to make her partner do these things and I could never get my partner to do any of this.
You're like, here you go, sweetie. Let me tuck you into this with this nice fluffy duvet. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's easier to add a blanket than it is to cool off is what I'm
totally.
And I'm being meaner than I normally am. But if you do have that conflict, it should go to the person that needs it colder because it's so much easier to just be under the covers and stay warm. Yep. And then if you're the one that's too hot, then just put a light blanket over your sheet. And then you guys, there you go.
Yep. And I've literally seen this as a person in a relationship. I saved my relationship by redneck jerry-rigging a air conditioning unit into the window so that my wife now could sleep because our AC unit was out and we couldn't get it fixed.
Yeah, that was rough. And Concord in the 100 degrees.
100 degrees. Yeah. It was 90 degrees at night. And we made it work. And I will tell you, that saved us because both of us got actual sleep. And we were then nicer throughout the day because we could actually sleep at night.
Yeah.
So I am do not take that cold away from me.
Yep. Don't take my cold either. And then your blackout. Blackout curtains are cheap. They don't have to be pretty. Just blackout shade, whatever you need. Black that out.
So one, having a kiddo, I learned this. It's multiple window covers that have suction cups for $30 to $40 on Amazon. They go underneath your blinds. You can undo them. They suction and they come off. Like, so if you're like, oh, Ben, this is too ugly. Well, put them up when no one's coming to your house and you'll never notice. Also, you can buy nicer curtains, I promise. That the other thing is look around your room at the devices in it.
Yeah.
I hate hotel rooms because every little device has a brighter light than I need.
You just throw t-shirts on everything.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
So this is also the new parent hack I've learned of take painter's tape with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, that works.
For a number of reasons. But one of them is to literally cover up the lights on stuff. And I have learned that is magical.
Unplug it or just throw a t-shirt on it. So, yeah.
Like my wife wants to murder me whenever I don't dim the baby monitor when I bring it to bed.
Yeah, too bright.
Too bright. And it is still too bright. And we will one day get rid of that and help both of our sleeps. But we both probably turn away from the bright of that.
I do not know what's happening right now.
You're very
oh my God.
Angelic about the brightness.
What the heck? you know what? I said bright and something in my music collection is called bright and it was playing. Sorry.
Wonderful. so yes, but look at that. Seriously, like dim the alarm clock, move the TV out of the bedroom. Take the devices out.
If you have a TV in your bedroom, what are you doing? Unless you live in a studio, stop it. It's so bad for you.
The only reason I can defend it.
Okay.
I'll defend it this way. If you have a TV in your bedroom and it is your like man cave, or it is your one place to break away from the kids, I get it.
That's if you're in a roommate situation. Or
yes.
Something.
Like you need your space. Like,
but you can put sleep timers on those.
Well, yeah. Also, you can tape over the power lights on them.
Yeah.
Like they literally sell things to cover up the lights on a TV. And oh, by the way, TVs don't turn on by themselves.
All right. So it needs to be dark. It needs to be cold. And of course, quiet. Quiet is...
One last one here. Mm. Darkness wise. If your schedules do not align with your partner, mm-hmm. like they get up 2 hours before you, or they go to bed hours after you, or they just can't stay off their device when they're in bed... There are new eye masks out there that you can wear that are actually very comfortable, very nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eye masks are great.
Eye masks. So look into those. Like, test those out. And yeah. You might go, wow, I thought these were the worst things ever. I have flown with several of them. I'm like, oh, I might actually use this next time.
Yeah, I got one for my kid in the dorms. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah.
That was my biggest fight
in
the
dorms. And it had the little, you can put your headphones in there and everything. Yeah.
We rearranged our entire room to block the light that came from under our dorm room door, because the doors were just, I don't know how old. Mm-hmm. And that we could not see light from the door. So it makes a big difference.
Sure does. All right. So, and then the quiet, and that's tricky. You know, obviously we all have different situations at home, snorers. Again, people in my house don't listen to this, so I can call them out. I have that issue. It's rough. And I'm not a big earplug person because I want to be safe and be able to hear if there are people in my house. So I don't like that. But so you have to really, you know, again, you gotta have to protect your sleep. Like it's your child, you know, mm-hmm. like really stick up for yourself and try to find a quiet way. And if there's ways to negotiate with the people in your house to be quiet at certain hours, please do. It's so much better. And obviously things are going to wake you up at night. You know, you got a kid, you got a dog, something happens outside, whatever. Mm-hmm. But as long as it's not a pattern that happens every day, you should be able to manage it.
Well, and like you can... You can soundproof your room. So like if you're in a roommate situation, you can kind of put some soundproofing stuff in. It doesn't have to be
white
expensive.
Noise is really, really good way to do it.
Be careful with that. There are new studies that the white noise is not so white noisy because it can be too loud. It can be this or that. Like it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, if it's affecting the quality of your sleep,
exactly.
Don't do it. That's again, back to tracking.
Yeah.
But,
well, or if you find that like, you're like, oh, I just don't feel like I've been getting good night's sleep. Try turning off the white noise machine and see if it changes.
Yeah.
Now, if you live in a noisy environment and can't, then turn on the white noise machine because it might help. But there's a bunch of little kid studies where they actually say turn off their noise machine and they sleep better. Huh? And I think it's just one of those where the volume doesn't like the volume, you just don't notice realize the volume until it's too late. And you're like, oh, wow. This is a lot louder than I thought.
Well, yeah. And if it's helping you sleep, great. If it's not, don't do it. I know there's nothing better than a air conditioning unit in a hotel room. I go right to sleep like a baby. Mm-hmm.
That little hum.
Yep. All right. Schedule.
This is the Robin rule.
Yeah.
The Robin, like, No, because I admire the hell out of you, Robin, because at 6 a.m. Sunday morning, I know you're up doing work, and I put quotations there. I have no idea why they put you actually do work at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, which is just mind-boggling to any normal human being. But that's you keeping your schedule.
Yeah, because if I sleep in, I'm a little out, rabbit ears too. And 6 a.m. is late for me. I get up earlier than that.
I know.
But and so I get up, and it's natural. It's not an alarm. But if I don't get up early on Sunday, then I am going to not be able to sleep Sunday night. And if you guys, any of you know what the Sunday scaries are, it's already hard to sleep Sunday nights. So that's just what I do to make it easier. So I keep that same schedule. So I'm tired at the same time every night. So I get to sleep. Otherwise, Monday mornings really suck.
Well, and this is the beauty of what Robin does, is that keeps her on the same routine, same sleep schedule. Body knows when to go to sleep, when to wake up. And here's the other hidden trick. And not, we might not all be able to do this, but if Robin goes out the Saturday night before and still gets up at that 6 a.m., she can fall asleep on the couch in the afternoon and it still counts just as good, if not actually better, for her overall sleep.
Yeah. So I'm anti-nap. So that wouldn't work for me. I would just go to bed a little earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are people, like, I'm one of those people, like, I don't know how to nap, so I'm not one of those people. Yeah, I should clarify.
I can't nap.
But this is actually one, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
You can train yourself to nap.
Yeah. Napping is good for you.
It is the literal practiced skill. And if you don't believe me, start practicing the skill and you'll figure out, oh, wow, I can do this.
I know a lot of people who are very successful at regular napping.
Yeah. But especially
if you have kids and that's the only time you can sleep.
But they literally like have proven, like, if you practice napping, like you just say, I'm going to lay down for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, close my eyes, nothing else is on, over time of practice, weeks, months, you actually can do it. And you can shut it off and do it just the same way you do everything else in your life. Yep. I was blown away when I started reading about it.
Oh, no. It another parenting tip for you. When your child starts pushing back on the naps, it's not, you must nap. It's, you need to lay down for this much time and be quiet. You don't have to sleep.
Yep.
And they out. And that's how you make them nap.
Yep.
So you can do that to yourself.
So that's super important, is trying to go to bed and wake up at the same times every single day.
Yeah. And it is really hard for you guys. I get it. This is not, again, these all, this is great, but that doesn't work for me. Do your best. Like try. And like, I force myself to get up on Sundays sometimes. It's not the same as having difficulty sleeping, but you know, you got to work with what you have.
Well, and the other piece to this is, what was I going to say? Oh my goodness. Come on, brain.
How'd you sleep last night?
Not great. Yeah. Last two nights have been a little, daylight savings and time changes.
Yeah.
You staying up late on Friday and Saturday night is the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Your body takes it the same way.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you mean, Ben? I'm not jet lagged. I'm like, to your body, you actually are. Because you normally go to bed at 10, 11, and now you go to bed at 1, 2 in the morning. That is the same thing, and it feels like jet lag to your body.
Yeah.
So if you ever struggle with, I can't go to bed on Sunday night, I have Sunday scaries come the evening of Sunday, or I can't get up Monday morning, it's because you might be jet lagging yourself because you're Friday night and Saturday night fun. And that's okay, but just know that you're doing it to yourself.
Yes, it is. It's a sacrifice that you're making for that fun, and that's great. But
don't be clueless to it. Like, don't be like Ben, and this is really me. Like, don't be me who sits up and stays up late trying to decompress and then realizes, it's an hour past when I should have gone to bed.
Now you're like anxious because you didn't get to bed on time, and then you just watch and then you're like, oh, now it's 12, and now you're more anxious, and now it's 12:30, now I'm even more anxious. It's the worst.
And so I am probably, this is my call out to myself, of this is something I need to work on in my sleep, for a number of reasons, of either during the week or weekends, of really honing that down and locking that down.
And I'm going to segue, because of what you said, into that, having that routine. So having that routine and starting the routine at the same time every night, right? Yeah. So your goal is to go to bed at 9. You start that routine at 8, right? I make my little drink. You do brush your teeth, wash your face, whatever it is, read for a half hour, whatever it is, make sure you start it at the same time every night, and then it'll all flow, right?
One of the conversations I got roped into last weekend, or last week, one of the best conversations I've had with a client in a very long time.
Okay.
Our agreement between her and I was, hey, this is your target bedtime and you struggle with that. And they're like, yeah, but I'm pretty good at that, but I don't know. I said, what if, say it was 10:30. What if at 9:30 you set an alarm? And they go, well, what for? I go, from 9:30 to 10 o'clock, that is your free time. Whatever you want, you do at that time. If you want to spend time with your significant other, do it. If you want to go hug and cuddle your kids because you haven't done it all day, go do it. If you want to clean the kitchen because it's driving you absolutely nuts, do it. If you want to sip and sit tea and have the world leave you the hell alone, please do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, if you want to binge Netflix at 9:30, it is your time. You do whatever you want. Because what we were realizing in our conversation was, that was just getting pushed back. And then that would push back when they went to bed and all of these pieces. And I went, well, let's do that. And so now it's not a bedtime alarm like we want to get to eventually, or like even Robin says, this is a routine of when I start these things. It was, this is when you start your freedom and you do whatever you want with it, no matter how you feel. And I bet if they stick to that, they will wind up with Robin's routine of, I brush my teeth at this time, I do this, I do this, and all of a sudden you're in bed half an hour before you thought you should be or could be. And I think that's the magic, is giving ourselves this creative, like, freedom hour of white space of like, nope, nothing else can touch that in my calendar.
I think that's a good point, because I know people that get resentful because of like, I have had no time to myself all day. That's the only time I have for myself. And it's like, yeah. So you're going to push that bedtime out at your detriment because you haven't. So is the solution to go to bed later? Maybe it is to be a little more selfish with your time and say, no, I've got to carve this time out, or I'm just going to keep exchanging it for sleep, which is not ideal.
Well, and that's why I put it at the freedom hour. Like, maybe that's the time you need to be productive because work exploded that day. And so that's when you do that, because you have your freedom hour.
Love now. The freedom hour.
And I think that if people start playing around with that, they will find that magical for themselves. And all right. Really do better. Okay.
Running out of time.
You're good.
Okay. So we've got no food or alcohol.
Oh,
no work and no screens.
The 3-2-1 rule.
Yes. Tell me the 3-2-1 rule.
3 hours before. Okay. No food or alcohol.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Love it.
If it goes down your mouth, it's food or alcohol. Besides water.
Water.
Maybe tea. Yeah, like an herbal water tea. And decaf tea.
Yeah.
Those are fine. And maybe medications too, I would say. Because I think sometimes some meds you have to take at night.
Sure.
I don't know. I haven't been on a medicine routine in a very long time. Okay. So that's 3 hours prior. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 hours prior. Work or brain stimulating activities like that. Mm-hmm. So it could not be like your 9-to-5 job or even your side hustle job. But if you start solving the crossword puzzle or the, like, for me, it was nonfiction books. So like personal development books or like anatomy books or like, I can't remember. There was a couple different like investing.
Stimulating stuff.
Yeah. Where my brain starts spinning up in all of that.
For 2 hours.
And this can also be like documentaries and things like that, that like, get you spun up. I would tie this to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the news spins you up and you start getting mad about it, you need to shut it down 2 hours prior and change that. Last but certainly not least, the 1 hour prior, put the screens away. Now, some of us are like, Ben, this is my time to watch something. I read on my Kindle. If you can't physically put the screen away, invest in a pair of blue light blocking glasses or some glasses to take that screen, the light that comes from the screen, away. And there are so many gosh darn studies about that. I don't even know where to begin. And don't tell me you can't afford blue light blocking glasses, because I know that they have $6 really funny looking orange ones on Amazon. And I know they have $10 to $20 really, really nice looking ones on Amazon too.
Okay.
So you have the funds to purchase these and they will save your life.
All right. So 3-2-1 rule. Love it.
3-2-1.
Okay. I mean, you guys know what to do. You know, it's like we talked about food and everything else. You have to care about yourself, because this will give you a really big leg up, and then you have to kind of put some boundaries down to the best that you can. And if you need help, ask us, because we're an objective view and we might be able to point out some ways that you can help yourself sleep better.
This is really freaking hard. This is one of the biggest things I struggle with. I am 100% probably of the 12 habits we have, this is probably my worst, I would argue. It is definitely my household's worst one too. And it is not even because of the kiddo. The kiddo is the best sleeper in our house by far and away. He blows my wife and I out of the water. Like, and we are, knock on wood, so lucky, because he sleeps through the night, maybe one wake up. So we haven't made it with a kid. But we suck at this. I am terrible at it. My wife is terrible at it.
And you're not alone. A lot of people do.
So that's why I'm saying this story of like, if anyone gets it, it's me. So if you're like, Ben, no, I can't do this. I'm like, I get it. Let's try something.
And if nothing's working, and obviously we can't help you with our anecdotal advice, please seek help elsewhere. It might be something a mental health professional or your primary care doctor can help you with. Mm-hmm. So it is that important.
Well, and that's why I sat with that client for an hour and had a conversation. Like, and we found something. And they were just like me. Like, I can't make this work, Ben. I don't know what to do. And we found something to try. And I think that's the biggest key. And it doesn't have to be massive. It's Robin's point of give your partner another comforter and turn the thermostat down 3 notches. Mm-hmm. It's that type of stuff. Like, please do it. Like, I as much as I wish I could change it in the gym in the hour you come to class. The only thing I can do is make you tired from exercising really hard.
And that helps.
It does help.
It helps me.
It does help, but yeah. It won't solve the other problems. And oh my God, there's a foot attached to that truck that just drove by.
Okay.
Sorry.
And on that note, I think we've exhausted this.
Yeah. So Ben is seeing things literally now. So maybe he needs to go take a nap.
So if you see Ben, tell him to eat his food and get some sleep.
And I will. And I'm serious. Like, if we need to create the support group around the sleep ears, I am all there. Just the same way Robin and Steph are going to create the book club, I will create the sleep club.
Yes.
And while they're reading their books, we will be sleeping in the same way I probably used to do in English class growing up.
Perfect.
So come take a nap, not with me, but at the same time as me.
There you go.
And otherwise, sleep on.
All right, bye.